Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. This is Kathy Lauren coming to you from the City of Brotherly Love, standing in for Marita Pickett this evening, doing her backup. Like the rest of us, we work together when one's in, another's out, year after year after year. And right now, there are storms a-blowing in Indiana, and she is plumb out of power. So maybe this is just a good moment, everyone, to take a deep breath and send a little love and send a little light. For all that she gives to us, let us all just give back a little bit from our own hearts for all that she does year after year. So we're thinking of you, Marita Robert. We know you're just hanging out, knowing you can't be with us. So we will continue with our first business of order tonight, which is always the setting of the tone with Angel Sue. And we thank you, Angel Sue. We look forward to always hearing you every week.
Thank you, Kathy, and hello, everyone.
Hi, Angel Sue.
Hi, Sue. I heard a little bit about what you said before, and, you know, last week I was given that information that, you know, the perfect divine solution to add the word happy in there, that phrase. So I'm asking that happiest situation and happiest doorways open up for you.
Thanks.
Anna.
Wonderful.
We love you, Annie Rose.
Oh, I love you guys too, and I missed you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and I know Rama had a birthday earlier this week. We hope you had a very special day, Rama. And so let's begin and claim ourselves yet again as the divine child that we truly are. Divine.
Yes, we are.
Is simply in harmony with our true core. And so miracles can happen. And with this, we're inviting in our support teams, our higher
May our steps be guided by divineness, and may we be followed by divineness.
Always, always, and walking paths in happiness, Annie Rose. And so with this, we're calling in, along with our higher,
it's so hot I can't even think.
Our twin flames, that's it. And also our avatars and our guides, our masters, our teachers, our angels, our councils of light, and all those lighted realms that are celebrating the fact that we're just here, that we're holding light, that we're living love, and they're supporting us in ways that we can't even understand. So with all of these darlings gathered around us, let's just put our fingertips over our heart area and intend that this heart space opens up right now with every breath we take, intending also that unconditional divine love is flooding in on the in-breath and gratitude is flooding out with the out-breath. Just our normal pattern tonight, breathing, but with that little extra awareness in the background. And as our heart space opens up, we're going to look on the inside while we're still touching our fingertips over our hearts. And start from the top of your head and go down to the bottom of your feet, your toes. And for 90 seconds, whatever we find, let us praise, respect, thank, and love it. Cherish it, accept it, acknowledge it. And so whether it's good or bad, we'll
stay in the neutral, and I'll start timing us now. I'll mute out for the quiet time now. That is good. Now, peace breath time. So pick one of those memories you have of when you felt wonderful, when you were smiling, when your heart was bursting with happiness. Take a breath in. And on the out breath somewhere, say the word peace. And just think of that time, how good you felt. How amazing the connection it was. How happy your body felt. Peace. Let it anchor in even deeper in that joy and happiness, that at-one-ment.
And may I suggest that we breathe in love, peace, and happiness, and breathe out constraints, restraints, and doubts, or anything that would create constraint or restraint in our life.
We want Thank you, Annie Rose. That's beautiful.
And right, and it's for all of us.
Yes.
And only accept into our vibration the peace, love, happiness, and good health. And
I like that. Well, now we're going to switch our focus to all those that we claim in our lives, all those we're aware of, all the that are in the news. And this is where we're going to hold the energy even for the weather pattern that the people in Indiana are going through. So, across our planet, within, upon, and around, we're going to praise, respect, thank, and love their pathways as well. With this neutrality, good and bad. So let's hold this energy for 90 seconds. The praise, respect, thanks, and love. And start now. I'll mute out again. Okay, icing on the cake time, the law of one. So for all these concerns that you carry in your heart, and all the beings that you are aware of, two-legged, four-footed, two-winged, the fishes, whatever is going on, even the daisies, those mutant daisies over in Japan. Let's call for that divine solution that is filled with happiness for all beings. So we welcome in all the known and unknown, seen and unseen, especially for those beings that are tied in with Nisara, the Reformation Act. All those, the galactic forces and our fraction three white knights, the whistleblowers and the media people, and us too. So with the law of one, we are saying we are all one. And as one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is. Owati is the word for one with all there is. We ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen for the highest happiness, the highest health, the highest divinity, heaven here now. And we give thanks that this is done with grateful hearts, 13 thank yous, and that honey poured over everything. And so it is. All men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. Kathy, I pass the talking stick. back.
Well, thank you, my dear. We appreciate you. And I have to say, I'm not letting you off the hook, Angel Sue. What are mutant daisies in Japan?
Photos were released earlier this week of daisies that it looks like they're trying to grow double daisies in one, and the middle yellow aspect of the flower is so misshapen. It looks like it's a gaping maw of a mouth in some of the flowers. So they're really misshapen.
Very interesting.
The DNA is really confounded into a new mutant strain. So that's what I was talking about. If you Google, you'll find some pictures.
I'm going to be Googling for sure. I always find things like that interesting, so thanks for sharing that. All right, everybody, that was interesting. I really went deep with you, Angel Sue. I don't know, something in the air tonight. I was all the way in. So thank you for your lovely blessing every single week. And we will pass the talk. Go ahead.
We love you. Thank you so much.
And yes, we will pass that talking stick to our Carolina Rainbird to learn what we can about what the Mayan calendar holds for us this week.
Okay, I'll take that talking stick. It's a good week in the Mayan calendar. We are just really cooking. We end this year in the calendar and have a day out of time and start a new year, and we're all on portal days. So today, in the wave of the serpent, Chitong, which is really about transformation, isn't it, for snakes shedding their skins like that. So we have, we're at a portal day, and it's a 7-2, and it's the blue resonant monkey. And that's resonant, not resident. It could be the blue resident monkey too. But here we are with this magical artistry and working with that mystical quality at the tone of 7. And so that place at the top of the mountain. So there you go. Lots of balancing work and play and paying attention to clarity of mind and that wise use of magical artistry. So, with that magical 7-tone to boot. So, lots of magic today and innocence and spontaneity and play and laughter. So, enjoy this good energy. And then tomorrow is another portal day, and it's an 8-seed. 8 is that fine-tuning and harmonic resonance, and be the human. So let's work with that fine-tuning the human energy. Work with the enlightenment of humankind and activate cosmic consciousness with this solar glyph. And work with that fine-tuning of relationships with that 8-tone as well. And then Saturday, the 25th of July, is the day out of time, and it's another portal day, and it's a 9-bend Skywalker, and that 9 expanded cycles of a Skywalker. So, a good day for the day out of time. Lots of celebrations. That Skywalker energy is a warrior aspect, and it's about focusing on our journey, striving towards self-illumination, seeking clarity. We have strength with this solar tone, solar glyph, and that ability to bend directions. I mean, dimensions. We can bend directions too. Let's work with bending the dimensions and going through those time warps we have available to us. So then on Sunday, another portal day at 10, that manifestation tone with ease. The Jaguar, the Magician. So very magical time for this and it's Happy New Year. This is the day that Sirius appears on the horizon. So it's been invisible until now. I mean, I think just recently. I think from the night to the morning sky. And so it shows up in that morning sky on July the 26th. And it's the new year in the Mayan calendar. And it will carry this energy of 10 each the whole year. This manifestation of our visionary and that visionary aspect of this solar eclipse. It's about illumination for others, clarity of mind and purpose. It carries the gifts of shaman, jaguar medicine, integrity, being in accordance with divine will. So these are the aspects we're working with this year as we go to this new year. And it's the time to let go of and surrender control, personal power issues, and manipulation. And we have that beautiful tone of 10, that manifestation tone, to work with this whole year as well. Very nice. And then on Monday, still yet and yet, another portal day, the last of the 10 in a row. And it's 11 men. And men is that eagle, that visionary aspect. It's our commitment to service and moving consciousness to source and reconnecting with all creation. And we do that with that 11 tone, letting go of what no longer serves us. Releasing blockages and any resistance. The time of freedom from restriction. So growth during this time occurs through re-examination. The vision quest is represented by tone 11. So we definitely are in some questy times. And we know these sun dancers are working with us as we speak. Lots of sun dancers are doing their prayer time with this that sun dance ceremony at this time. So keep them in your prayers as well, and gratitude for the work that they do that way. And then then Tuesday we have a 12C, 12 being that sun of complex ability, and C is the warrior. So that warrior being the human servant warrior, not a soldier. And so trusting your journey, bring awareness of right action. Our gifts are communication with the divine and accessing cosmic consciousness. So that's Tuesday, and on Wednesday we have a 13 combined, so we finish up this wedding of the serpent with a 13 combined Kaban is the earth, and the 13th zone is that transcendent cosmic consciousness. So let's work with the earth and her ascension. We are the keeper of the earth. We stay aware of her energy and access planetary harmony and be the balancing point and use your intuition. So there you go, that's Wednesday. And then Thursday when we come back, we begin the new wave of Etznav, the near. So that will be a good wave as well, as we'll be going through this 4 days through that wave. And those 4 days are the union that's right in the middle of the resulting, this matrix. And it's really going up the spine, and working with that central final energy like that. And so it's very powerful, all the days considered as portal days where there's multidimensional work being done. And we know our DNA is being worked with during these days, so we look forward to that. And so there we go. Very powerful time in the Mayan calendar, and really looking forward to this new year coming up. I also want to give you some more places for information. I told you about spacestationplaza.com, and that's where you can find your Mayan information for your birthday. You can see what the day is as we go through them. and there's explanations, lots of information on that site. Also on that site, you'll find a link to thelawoftime.org. And thelawoftime.org gives you a lot more information about guns.
Could you spell the last part, the law of, spell that?
The law of time, LAWOFTIME.org. And that gives you a whole lot more information on the 13 moon calendar, and this is a good time to look into the 13 moon calendar as we start the new year and see the ways of the way the moon, the 28-day cycles work. And just a lot more information on the noosphere and the rainbow brain and the mind. What's it called, Carl? You mentioned it the other day. I can't think of it right now. But the unitary mind, united mind, or whatever it is, the group mind, whatever. I'll get it right next week. We'll talk about it some more as we just expand a little bit on the Mayan calendar and work towards what's happening with the noosphere and the biosphere and the rainbow brain. And so there you go, a little teaser. And I pass this talking stick right back to you, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much for that, Carolyn. I mean, this is just a power-packed week, New Year's start. Tremendous energy. Tremendous energy. Thank you for that. Let's take a moment to switch gears then, everyone, and we will just invite our Annie Rose. We have a short period of time where we can ask for Tara and Rama to come up right behind you, Annie Rose, but you're on the ball. We welcome you this evening.
Thank you, Abby. And it's a blessing and a pleasure to be here. And I just wanted to say, too, that may all of yours and anyone in hearing area of our program tonight, may their blessings be multiplied and their troubles be reduced.
And so it is.
Let's always ask for blessings to be multiplied and problems dissipated and reduced, and just put them out in the ether and let them be neutralized into the ether.
Amen.
We don't ever want to just throw our problems and any kind of trouble into the ether, because it's going to add to a conglomeration of negativity. So you ask that it be put into the ether and demolished, because by that you're destroying the power of it. So nobody, it won't land on anybody else. My problems won't become anyone else's. And so you always ask that the problem be removed and neutralized into the ether being the atmosphere. And that's something that we teach in our classes and try to make a more positive world. There's always room for positivity.
Very true. Did you have something in particular astrologically that you wanted to give notice to us on?
Yeah, you know, we talked before a little bit, and I don't have my papers with me, but we talked a little bit about the upcoming eclipses in September. And I think the 13th was one, and the 26th or something was another. But these are going to affect, especially affect airplanes and boats or the water, ships on water, anything on water. And we're going to have to watch the weather very carefully because we are in a big changeover. And it appears to me like it's rolling from California this way. Now, California just went through a heavy drought period, and now they're having pretty severe rains. And somebody said to me today, well, it's not going to rain today. It's a beautiful day. And I said, take a look at the leaves. I happen to have 5 maple leaves on the easement between the sidewalk and the street around my house. And whenever it's going to rain, the leaves turn upside down. In other words, the vein part of the leaf is up instead of down. And then you bet that there's going to be a rain. And it looks like there's going to be because all the leaves today have turned upwards. And we don't really need any more rain. We've had enough. But I guess there's a purpose and a cause for everything. And so we have to learn what it is and just accept any knowledge of the truth as to why we're having it and what needs to be done with it. I understand we're going to have some very good weather, though, as far as heat is concerned, which is wonderful news.
Well, we've definitely had a weather break in the northeast part of the country. It has been so completely 90-some degree days here in the northeast. And now we've had a break, a nice cooling and a good rain, and it's nice to, it's refreshing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Windows are open.
And I think that's going to pretty much continue. I don't see very many more days of torrid heat. I'm looking at 4 to 5 days left in the year period for real hot days.
Wow.
And that'll be it. So, hail to humanity and everything else toward those who have stock and utilities, because believe me, they have made the money this year. I'm talking about the gas and electric.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, and it's scary how high those bills can go. But my lowest bill this year, and I live alone, and my lowest bill has been $290. My highest has been $500. And that's an awful lot to pay for gas and electric for one person.
Yeah. That is. I concur.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. You know, they say everything comes to you when you're ready, and I have been praying so hard to guide me into the right direction, because, you know, I've had some problems getting some things done around the house by myself, and I knew I needed some help, and I walked into a situation where it's a very affordable situation, and it's wonderful. The atmosphere is beautiful where I'm moving to. So it's still in Maryville, Indiana, but it's still going to be, and I will have my own apartment, and the apartment is large. It's huge. And we have housekeeping. Laundry is done. There are 2 different dining rooms in the building. And you order off of a menu. It's really, really nice.
We're very happy that you've come to a conclusion and can make this shift. This is wonderful news for you, and we congratulate you.
And it was a very hard decision to make. But I've talked to a lot of people that live there now and found that I know a lot of them. And or I've met them over the years. And every single one of them said they were so, you know, at first they were so reluctant to leave their homes. First time that they had sold a home in their life. And yet, they can't be more thankful that they found this place to live. And it is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That's very encouraging. You know, Annie Rose, I'm just going to stop you for one moment because we do have someone that has joined us, and he wants to say hello to you. So we pass that talking stick to you, Big Will.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. I sure appreciate it. Annie Rose, I want to let you know that help is on the way, that high electric bill will be no more. Dr. Kishi is going to release the new technology for free electricity on July the 30th. So you will have no more of those high electric bills, okay?
Oh, fearless to God's ear, Will. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, Kathy. That's all I want to say to you.
We appreciate that, Big Will. Well, we're going to be heading right into our time with Tara and Rama. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with this audience? Annie Rose?
Yes. What is that?
I said, are there any last thoughts you'd like to share with this audience before we pass the talking stick to Tara and Rama?
Yeah, I want to just say with the new Mayan year coming, with any kind of a new year coming, let's all think more about our bodies. Our bodies are ourselves. In other words, treat them right, especially in your diet. Watch your diets. And now is a wonderful time of the year to begin to really transition into a healthier diet. And I can honestly say that my 5 month stay at a rehab center to be able to walk again, I transgressed into eating a lot of vegetables and fruit, a lot of fruit. And I feel much, much better since I decided to watch this diet.
Yeah.
Watch my diet more carefully.
We're happy to hear that. Well, then it's a healthy start. It's a new start. And we send blessings to you on their way.
Thank you.
Thank you, too, Annie Rose. And then we go on to our Tara and Rama to ask you, what is hot? What is secret? What is happening behind closed doors?
Oh, my God.
Rama, you need your little machine-y here. Come and hold this. Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
Greetings, Rama.
I am.
Let it rip, Rama. Let it rip.
Rama is now 62 years old. He's 2 days old in his 62nd year.
Oh, my God.
What comes up must come out. What comes out must come up.
Indeed. And I today spoke with Catherine, Heidi, and Tom the Cat. And what is going on is this huge rush to create all kinds of distractions across the planet, from Mr. Hare, you know, doing what he's doing by, and I just have to say, Donald Trump has no bearing in this world. He is a clown with a lot of money that's raising a lot of interesting points, but yet at the same time, he has to bend at the knees to Mr. and Mr. Coke.
No, he's in collusion with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's not bending at the knee at all. As a matter of fact, when they had that meeting in Florida at that beach house of the Koch brothers, he donated along with the Koch brothers to have the event. And he gave money to the others. And what I'm going to just say, I don't know if you asked that specific question, but Tom Hartman's saying this looks like what he's doing is trying to distract from Jeb Bush and trying to focus on who the Koch brothers want to be the next president, which is
Scott Walker.
Right.
And Scott Walker would bomb Iran day one.
He already said that.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. And he said he would repeal the health care.
Yes. And what Catherine and Heidi and Tom the Cat shared with me today is all of what is going on has to do with the very large distractions across the planet that have nothing to do with reality. and everything to do with the downfall of the 13 families. And Greece, let's say I saw something on RT where they, on the ticker tape, they approved the second series of whatever they're doing, yet it is about blackmail at the highest order. And, Mr. T, as I call him over there, he knows which way the wind blows. And all of this is about Hitler's daughter, who has the richest country there. Germany never lost World War II.
No, as a matter of fact, because they've got the European Union going, it's a testimony to the fact that they want it. And that's at least what they're saying in that article.
Yes.
The name of the article is express.co.uk/news/world/470967/ The EU was Hitler's idea, and it proves Germany won the Second World War, claims new book. The Nazis want to get rid of the clutter of small nations which made up Europe, and their plan was quite simple. The EU was Hitler's dream. Daniel J. Bidal and Fulvio Cipollini. The EU, the truth about the Fourth Reich, how Hitler won the Second World War, argues the single currency, the free market, and even the phrase United States of Europe were all dreamt up by high-ranking Nazis, including the Führer himself. It also claims the only country which benefits from the EU is Germany, just as Hitler had planned. A spokesperson for the Liberal Democrats, which its leader Nick Clegg describes as the party of in, when it comes to the EU, dismissed the authors of the book as peddling outlandish myths. The book, co-written by Daniel Bidal and Fulvio Cipollini, says what is the EU for? Who really benefits? And the answer is, of course, Germany. It is no coincidence that just about every country in the European Union is getting poorer and poorer, while Germany continues to get richer and richer.
Yeah.
We may think we won the Second World War, except we lost. It is no surprise that we are all living in the Fourth Reich. And that goes for over here. That's that guy, Robert Mondale. He created the EU in terms of its economic situation and banking setup. And he created Reaganomics over here, and they're both the same. That's, they call it Reaganomics, yet remember, Reagan was dead, and that was a programmed clone both times. And Bush Sr. was running the show. And Bush Sr. is a nice homegrown Nazi born in Germany. And Mr. Scherf. And it's we got to take this all the way. Did they say anything about Angelica Merkel going to the world court, Rama?
The way these three put it is they could not give dates, yet they said we are watching the absolute disaster movie. And we're at the very last few seconds of the disaster movie where these guys are trying to pull off their desperate attempt to hold on to power anywhere on the planet. Yet, it is a failed attempt. All three of them today said they will attempt to play with their technologies, yet it is ultimately failing. It's already going on, where they're playing with different kinds of anomalies in the sky, and there are rumors, hints, allegations. Catherine said they're tinkering with Project Bluebeam in the atmosphere, where they all kinds of folks have seen all kinds of strange anomalies. One of them showed up over your city, Kathy, Philadelphia. And I don't know if it was on your local news, but this anomalous type amoeba-like bubble, or it was some kind of like clear see-through type object that was in the sky. Many, many, many people saw it. It was on local news there in Philly, and they had no explanation. When they called up the Air Force, they said, "We can't tell you what it is. We don't know." And of course, I believe the Air Force was lying.
Yeah. I didn't hear about that, Rama. It wasn't on my radar. I don't watch the news, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah. And there are other types of anomalies that are showing up all over the planet. And
what do you think that was in Philadelphia? Do you have any sense? Has anybody shared with you what that was?
I asked Tom and Catherine, Heidi, and they both just said, these guys are desperate enough to try to play with a holographic, solid hologram in the sky to make it look like some kind of entity or life form to get people's attention away from something else.
Fear and fascination with the dark side.
Yeah, yet we have...
While they do their mischief while you're not watching.
Right.
We've got Der Fuhrer, courtesy of the UN, the Gestapo in this country, doing systematic ethnic cleansing. And it is the people of color, people of Native American origin, people of Arab origin. And it is definitely, I will call it as I see it, ethnic cleansing, nothing else. And it is about the fact that they want to carry and continue the Fourth Reich, yet it's been canceled. All the timelines have shifted. And this ancient, ancient story of Hitler is really, it is, you know, failing. Because more and more people are waking up and responding with kindness, with love, with compassion for our fellow, you know, brothers and sisters in whatever form they show up. And I just got this real gut feeling from both Catherine, Heidi, Tom the Cat, that as we approach these moon's eclipses, it's just at the point now, and I would like to say it is right effing now, yet I can't. I cannot give a date, but I can say it is at the critical juncture right now where everything that is being discussed and brought into focus, including the fiasco. I mean, I watched Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, you know, I mean, they were rude to John Kerry, not that, you know, John Kerry was testifying before a Senate committee on Iran.
Oh, the Republicans were absolutely, they're saying, you've been bamboozled. You've been, you know... They just and Barbara Boxer got after them. She said that's not all of that's hooey.
Yeah,
and that's not true. And it's just, you know. In other words, what we already know is that these guys are going to try to knock it down.
Yeah,
they're going to do everything they can. And Barack Obama said he will veto anything that they do to try to stop it, and then. There's one thing that has to happen after that. You have to have a two-thirds vote in both the House and the Senate. Yeah, there's lots of volcanoes in Indonesia going off on a regular basis for a month and a half, 2 months now. Three airports are closed now. There were five airports closed a little while ago. And there's one that really went off big time. Barack is in Africa now.
And I think a lot of the things that are coming into focus here every single day, you know, as you peruse the internet, every single day there is news stories about ship sightings, people interacting with these beings, and it's, you know, people demanding that full disclosure be right in our faces.
And there's a billionaire in Russia, and he is funding a space sound program.
Right.
They have real advanced technologies where they can really make contact and get messages back from different civilizations out in space. And he's got Stephen Hawking hired on there to work with that.
Yeah, this is the SETI program.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot more advanced technology than we do.
Yeah.
And then there's these multiple moon-sized UFOs spotted orbiting our sun in the NASA SOHO images.
This is at that place where you can see images of the sun. And there are all kinds of folks that are gathered in the corona of the sun. There are bases on the sun where, you know, in this article they actually describe where they're showing a base on the sun.
Oh my.
Understand, the sun is not hot. It is called cold fusion.
That's hey, right. Rama, what about that new planet that when the news got out today about a new planet that has a sun similar to the Earth experience? What are you
Yes. thinking? Yes. They were saying that we have that they found that sun is a class G star, and that planet is probably an oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere that would support our kind of life.
Oh. And well, where is it?
I don't remember what
close
it said.
Close to our atmosphere to the point that it can be seen. And so that was the news. That was the hot news that was out today.
Yeah.
Oh. That, well, I hope they've got the orbits figured out so we don't into each other.
No. won't.
Yeah.
I mean, the orbits, that's an oxymoron, really. When they really explain it, we're not going in an orbit. We're spiraling and we're following the sun. And the sun is following the star Vega in the Lyran constellation. Only the sun is going faster toward it than it is traveling where it's going, which is back to the Pleiades. So,
well, you know, we're still experiencing so much drama and trauma. I mean, every single day, that's all we get. And Fox News just put something out about a gunman injuring 6 people and turning the gun on himself in a theater, I think, in L.A. I mean, just, and he killed himself. This is just, when does all this stop? Doesn't Mother keep saying that, you know, all things in good time? We understand we don't know dates, but it seems like there's this stepping up. A stepping up of drama, which maybe I'm just being more sensitive. I don't know.
No, Kathy. The reason for it is that they're in deep doo-doo and they're scared. And so they're pulling out all the stops. They know how to do this technology of mind control and make them do what they want them to do and kill themselves. Yeah. They've been knowing this for decades.
And they've been using
it more and more and more.
And let's say the because they're... The 13 families are so desperate now because they literally have their pants around their ankles and everybody yeah. can see their derriere.
Yeah, but they don't ever, like the police see
yeah,
them
yeah,
in
they
Texas.
Just don't do jack about it.
That particular county is one of two of the worst counties in the entire South for lynchings.
Right.
They were lynching people in the 50s and early 60s still in that town.
Yes.
And that's how super racist that town is. Yet it's a university town. That's her alma mater, where 80% of the students are black. It's a dichotomy. and the ugliness is just unbelievable, but it's going pretty fast. They're demanding that they send her body back to Texas for another a second autopsy of the police kind.
And yet didn't something just come out about that where they were saying that there was some light being shed on what actually went down in that jail cell? Did you read that? I know there was a latest piece of news around that.
So what did they say, Kathy?
Well, no, I'm asking whether I didn't catch it. I knew that that was the headliner, and I didn't have a moment to check in to see.
All I know is that there was a lady that knows the law, and they said that plastic bags are contraband. They are considered not allowed in any cell, in any jail, local, municipal, or state, or federal. It's against the law.
And so maybe it was an inside job, you know?
It is gotta be. And that, you know, Tom was going meticulously over the footage. You know, they put out a second video, and they said this is the one that wasn't messed with or something. And they didn't even really admit that the first one was messed with. They just said it was glitches. And you know, he had somebody that knew about this, and he said that's not true. That they and he slowed things down, and he showed. He said, "You see certain places, and the cars are disappearing, and then they're showing up again, and they're repeating a phase, and they're showing it more than once, and they're cutting out whole sections where things were going on."
They
doctored it because of what they could hear was going on. That guy was doing some horrible damage to that woman's body, and they didn't have a video on the scene when he was doing that.
Yeah.
And I recorded word for word the what was being said, and it's unbelievable.
It's
totally unbelievable. I mean, she knew the law, everybody. She knew the law.
Yeah, it was murder. That's why I call it ethnic cleansing, pure
and
simple.
Well, it wasn't instantaneous, but
yes.
You know, this police officer banged her head against the ground to the point where she could not feel her arms or her legs, and she could not hear. And she was saying that she had epilepsy, and this guy kept on doing it worse. And he was out of control. He was completely screaming.
Yeah, and her mother was on
administrative leave.
No, he was working in the office. He was doing some kind of an office job. He's still on the paycheck.
Yeah, sitting at a desk getting paid.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Sandra's mother was on Al Sharpton's show today, Politics Nation, and she said, "We are going to get to the bottom of this. It is murder, plain and simple."
It's totally murder. You know, first of all, by the time they got her to the, you know, this is the same thing that happened with Freddie Gray.
That's right.
They already basically did the damage that, you know, he stopped breathing from. What they did that you don't see is they played on the knowledge that she had epilepsy. And if you don't get help when you have epilepsy, you can swallow your tongue, you can stop breathing, you can die. And then they probably rigged it to make it look like she killed herself, but that's what happened. You know, this is not. And again, in the astrology, this is about September now, yet it's building up exponentially right now.
Yes.
In the astrology, they're saying 1/5 of all the people on the planet will have their gifts, meaning that they'll be telekinetic. They'll be, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, you know, in the sense that all their complete aura completely opens up. And there's nothing intuitive that they don't have going for them. 1/5. What's 1/5 of 7.4 billion people?
Who's saying this?
Pardon me?
Who is saying that, Tara?
It was on Mystic Mama, Pagano,
Kathy Pagano,
and numbers of others. They're saying it in different ways. They're saying that you know, that 23rd, 24th date is not that negative thing at all. And
no.
It's just so ridiculous. The ability to be able to read the truth is being covered up in every which way but loose. But, you know, we're in 2,000 years since 2001 on July, 1991, July 11th, which was a total solar eclipse at high noon, and it was visible fully from Guadalajara, Mexico, so I drove down there with Micah and a friend, and we looked at it, and I didn't know that then. In retrospect, they said that that was the beginning of a 2,160-year cycle of the divine feminine Virgo goddess energy. We flipped out of this old masculine programming.
Yeah.
So what does that really state? It states that it actually states, Mahalagale says, it's gone. By then, it's completely gone. All the male programming, that means a brand new financial system, a brand new system of law, and a brand new set of governmental systems globally. And the old thing is completely gone. That's how powerful the statements are. And they're not coming just from one place. I just said, you know, I pretty much memorized that one because it was so... You know, it just hits you. You can't miss. And so, again, the power of our gifts and how we work with this is that we can move mountains. We can literally move mountains with that kind of divine love power that we put behind it. And, of course, we can align ourselves with that by changing our ways in our own lives. And, you know, that's really important because they're saying, especially right now, relationships throughout Cancer. And now we're entering, today is the most powerful day in any given sequence of numbers or month or year. It's a 23 day, and it's the Lion's Gate. We've just opened up to the Lion's Gate.
Yeah.
Aquarian moon. And that's what we've been here for. And when you get to that end of that period of September, when the moon is in the seventh house, that means the house of the sun of Libra. Mm. And Jupiter aligns with Mars. Libra comes in at the end of September. Then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. The only thing I know that changes the global financial system, changes our law back out of the statutory venue and back to the spirit of the true galactic spiritual law, which is the only document or constitutional document in the world, is our constitution, which is aligned with spiritual law. That's why Saint Germain said, get this done. Do it. And I'll be back. And the only thing, do you know anything else that does this except Nisara? Nothing.
And what is the timeline that you all are talking about? What's everybody saying timeline-wise?
There's no timeline for Nisara. Faction 3 will never give it that way. And I was talking to Dr. Carlos Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman.
The one.
This last Sunday, we went to visit our friend Margot, and that's her beloved. They're living together in Truchas on this beautiful, gorgeous piece of land.
Yeah, I put up the picture of the buffalo.
Yes, I finally got one up.
I got to resize them because the camera on the phone makes them huge. They're as large as the screen, so I have to shrink them down.
Well, as long as you did it once, you can do it more than once.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I mean, Rama got really close. He got really brave, and he got really close to this buffalo family we got to go see.
They started to, you know, stomp their feet, and I stopped.
There were two mamas, two babies, and a papa. And they were just the most gorgeous, I mean, healthy animals. They were living in paradise. Let's just put it that way. And then we walked a little farther down the road there, and there was this portal that our hair just went up on end. And Margot laughed, and she said, I thought you'd figure it out.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there were palominos and ampelousas and stallions, you know, the Arab type, having a picnic in another place. And they had a tree house with two loft spaces where you could sleep out under the stars at night. And I'm just saying that they were living in God's country. But he's writing another book, and the last book he published was in 2014. It's called The Paradigm Shift Trilogy, Volume 1, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, A Novel Theory of Our Origins. And so now he's doing Volume 2 of that title. And then the front page, he said, what is human civilization is a product of an evolving global mind field that we are all part of. What as this is a divine mind that always influences the way we think. And then, of course, TV takes it the other direction. Every time you get a little, you go boom on that one. In chapter 1, he says the mind is very powerful. And as we set our minds to something, we can move mountains. We never seem to doubt the importance of the mind, and we often view it as a prized personal possession. Yet do we really know where it comes from, what it is, or why it is so powerful? Since the mind lacks physical substance and is not something we can smell, taste, or see, how do we even know, as many assume, that it comes from the brain? Even though philosophers and psychologists have been discussing the nature of the mind for a long time, the exact location and nature of the mind, and even whether it exists at all, is still debated. The main dividing line in this philosophical debate has been drawn between materialists and idealists. The materialists, the school dominating official science, and the current educational system assert that the mind does not exist as an independent entity, and our thoughts can be reduced to and understood as brain chemistry. Idealists, on the other hand, maintain the mind is all that exists and hold physical reality to be merely an illusion. These are the two extreme positions in this discussion. In general, most people will probably adhere to the so-called dualistic point of view, where the mind is connected to the brain, and yet it is something independent. This view would, for instance, be held by many religions, believing in the existence of a non-material reality and in a soul. Anyway, I can go on. I like this discussion, and we think we should get into this more, because he was telling us that, you know, the true elders of the Mayan calendar,
yeah,
and they're older, they're in their 80s and their 90s, and some are in their hundreds, they would never say that there was ever a window. So, you know, some folks saying that, oh, yes, December 21st, 2012, is when the Mayan calendar ends. He said that's laughable to the elders, the real elders of the Mayans. And he said there is no window at all. There are energies that have been building by human beings developing their spiritual mind field, aligning with the global mind field, aligning with the galactic mind field, aligning with the supergalactic mind field, and beyond into the seven super universal mind field. And that is what's moving. That's the prime mover. That stuff is what's happening. The other stuff is control mechanism. It is a way of dumbing down humanity by a few renegade characters that were not invited here in the first place.
Yeah.
And he basically
said, Rama, I want to just take a quick moment to ask BBS Radio. You know, everybody, I'm sure you're thinking that, you know, we forgot about our guest. I actually don't know who our guest is this evening. I think we don't have one, so we'll know that it's Rama and Tara. But I wanted to ask in the background, Doug or Don, did you get anything from Marita that would speak to a guest for this evening? So we're just asking BBS to respond to that question, because I don't want to actually have one and not know about it.
Right.
Yes, and Kathy, in her email to Rama, she said, I did not contact
Marita.
Marita said, well, in Marita's email to you,
yes,
she said that she did not get to contact BBS at all. And she said that, I mean, she's... So I don't believe that they know, nor do we. So Mike.
Okay, then. So guess who's our guest this evening, everybody? All right, that answers the question. People look forward to the guest every single week. We understand that you do that. And this evening, we're just doing the local news. We're just getting and digging in here. And if anybody wants to call in, I don't have that number handy. Do you have that, Tara Rama? We can let our audience certainly ask you questions on any subject matter, anything, sure. Any aha moment. We welcome you. This is Roundtable.
Okay. The 888 number is 888-429-5471. And that's for the United States and Canada.
Right.
As you're in another part of the world, you can dial 530-413-9537. 530-413-9537.
Thank you, Tara. We appreciate that. We just had to do that little bit of housekeeping there for those who are waiting for a guest. So,
while we're just talking a little bit briefly on this, I just wanted to remind everybody that next month, on August 1st or July 31st, the number for the conference call, when we talk in just for an hour on Saturday and
the
Friday.
The high-definition conference.
Yeah, which is only used 1 hour on Friday night and 1 hour on Saturday night.
Between 8 and 9 Mountain Time.
Yeah, which is 10 and 11 Eastern Time, like that.
So
that number is changing. And that's important to let people know about that.
Well, let's hear the number, dear.
And the new number is to be... Just a minute. On July 29th, 2015, your free conference call, High Definition, hd.com dial-in number will permanently change from, this is the old number, 209-647-1600 to, okay, write this down, everybody, got your pens and paper, 641-715-3650. So again, 641-715-3650. Okay, and then the playback number will change from 209-647-1699 to 641-715-3649. 641-715-3649. Okay, and then the other thing, there's a number of folks that have put their contribution on automatic, which means that they're always, PayPal will always take money out of that contribution every month. And I look at it with a little bit of dismay, because as you take the effort to do it every month on your own, then you can click a button that says for friends and family. And every time you do that, they don't take any money out. None. And the King of Swords has been able to facilitate getting money that we might need to feed ourselves or put gas in the tank or pay bills and stuff like that, that or the rent, that it will be able to be gotten, you know, right away, instead of 5-day waiting period. So that's a very good way to do it, especially if, you know, you want to send $5, for instance. You press friends and family and the whole thing goes. You don't even have to put a stamp on the envelope. I mean, that's a good deal, everybody. And again, I just ask that people will be generous at this time as we go through this process. And do not give up. Do not give up. This participation of the global minefield together is the prime mover. It's the only thing that changes the world when you get down to it. Right. And there's a lot of people that I just want to correct something a little bit. Like Dr. Keshe said that he's going to present, you know, the off-grid technology for the electrical grid on the 30th or 31st of this month.
Oh.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to automatically happen.
Right.
It still has to be this way. First, these guys have to be arrested. Then we get our full disclosure simulcast along with announcing the enactment of NASARA as law publicly. And then it's a 72-hour period within which we will be getting, I think it's up to 120 hours now of material information. You're not going to be watching your sitcoms or whatever else you see on a regular basis. That won't be on there for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And there's just going to be this repetition of information about the changes that are happening on a global scale.
Real news where shills for Fox are not getting paid millions of dollars
already be arrested. They won't be there.
They won't be there.
And that's another thing. It's an all or nothing deal. They all get arrested at once, or if they're as they're sitting in ship prisons, which there are, you know, hundreds of thousands indeed doing that, they will be frog marched wherever they need to be done. They'll be taken care of. Let me just say that that will cease to be going on, and there will be another thing going on. Well, they'll be going wherever they're going, and that is like. It is so huge. And again, that statement astrologically that 20%, one-fifth of the entire planet will be awake to this unity consciousness and to this mind field of fifth-dimensional and sixth-dimensional wave frequencies, that's not something to sneeze at.
No.
And, you know, the American mindset has been seriously programmed, more seriously programmed than most. You know, there's a running knowledge of the controlling mechanisms of the West, and the people that don't live here know about it more than anybody, and they're not going to put up with it, and they don't. So it's just really important that we comprehend all of these things, everyone. And so how am I going to put this? How do you want to put this? What more do you want to say about this? We
never give up. That's what started this. Never give up.
Exactly. Please never give up. And
yeah. Well,
please,
if
you want to ask questions or contribute to this conversation, call that number, 888-429-5471. And let's get more and more participation, because we are going to be the changers as well as the changed from now on.
Right.
And there is nobody else out there, you
this
know?
Is what I, you know, that book keeps coming back to mind, The Fourth Turning, The Heroes and the Prophets. Bernie Sanders is one of the prophets. He's speaking to the millennials, the heroes that are showing up, that are saying, we don't want the same old fiasco called Hitlery. Or
well, she doesn't say that. You're saying that.
I'm just saying, the heroes and the prophets are showing up right now. Bernie Sanders is one of the prophets that's saying, let's move this right now, because it is the only way we get change.
Yes, and Bernie's being challenged by Black Lives Matter, too.
Yes, he is.
He is moving in a direction to specify, and he's starting to talk about it more.
Wait a minute, I don't understand that. Be more clear. What are you saying right now?
Well, there was an event, and I think there were 13,000 people there, and they were interviewing Mr. Presidential candidate O'Malley.
Martin O'Malley.
Martin O'Malley, as well as Bernie Sanders. And the interviewer, I don't know his name, but he invited up a team of women to come on the stage who were representatives of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
And they said, we need to know a real specific plan for the racism in this country and how that's going to be rectified.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders wasn't ready for that, and neither was Mr. O'Malley.
No.
And so it's out there now. Yet, you know, Bernie is starting to work on it. You know, nobody's asking for perfection. There's one thing you got to realize is that Bernie Sanders has been, you know, he started out in Vermont as the mayor, and then he went into the representative, and then he became a senator, and then he went to, you know, D.C. as an independent. But there's barely any black people in Vermont. It's just, and Vermont is very progressive. Even though there's lots of rednecks who like to go hunting, they don't have any gun law problems. They have a liberal gun law policy because so many people like to go hunt in that place.
What is the thing they say? Something or die? No, that's New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire is live free or die.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, New Hampshire ain't no Vermont. They have got the most disgusting governor they've ever had in any state in the whole history of this country. He is disgusting. And then Chris Christie goes and makes buddy-buddy with him. Oh, what a trip. Anyway. And it's, there's super rednecks that function it's very kind. It's a dichotomy. Vermont is different than very different. And Bernie Sanders has been there a long time, but nonetheless, all of his other policies, we need to realize that the racism in this country is way worse than anybody has been able to actually put their teeth into, because right now, you know, because of the new technology where people can go and take pictures of things that they see.
Or record things.
And record things, you know, that was another thing. That's what ticked off that officer so much, because she was recording every single sentence in the conversation. And what that officer did not do is he did not give her a reason. She was asking for 15, 20 minutes. What is my arrest for? What are you arresting me for? What have I done? She was right.
Yeah.
He lost his ever-living, loving control of his mind.
He told her to put out a cigarette. And she said, I'm sitting here in my car. Why do I need to put out my cigarette? And that made him furious.
Then he said, well, you can step out now. That was his answer to her when she said
right.
that. And
right.
then Sandra said, I don't have to step out of my car. The officer got madder, and he said, step out now! Step out of that car! And he got louder. And then the officer opens Sandra's door.
He had a laser gun in his hand, didn't he?
Yeah, not quite yet. Then Sandra said, no, you don't have the right. The officer cut her off and said, step out of the car. And he was much louder that time. Then the officer, Sandra said, you do not have to write. You do not have the right to do that. The officer said, I do have the right. Now step out or I will remove you. Then Sandra says, I refuse to talk to you other than to identify myself. That made him even madder. The officer said, step out of the car or step out or I will remove you. Sandra said, I am getting removed for failure to what? And then the officer says, step out or I will remove you again, louder. And he was screaming by this time. I am giving you a lawful order. The officer said, get out of the car now or I am going to remove you. Sandra said, and I am calling my lawyer. That was a big one that you might not have caught that one right away.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Chris Hayes had the words printed out in the front of the screen. That was really good. Then the officer said, I am going to yank you out of here. Then Sandra said, okay, you're going to yank me out of my car. Remember, she's repeating it for the recording that she's getting on there. Okay, all right. And then the officer... the officer radios somebody to come, you know, another officer to come. And then Sandra says, okay, let's do this. Then the officer says, we're going to. And then Sandra says, don't touch me. Then the officer says, get out of the car, very angry at this point, angrily. Then Sandra says, don't touch me. I'm not under arrest. You don't have the right to take my arm. The officer says, you are under arrest. Then he radios for more backup again. Then Sandra says, I'm under arrest for what? Then Sandra says again, for what? Then the officer says, get out of the car. In other words, he's avoiding answering her. And the officer gets again, get out of the car now. Then Sandra says, why am I being apprehended? You are trying to give me a ticket for failure to, and then the officer cut her off again and said, I said, get out of the car. Sandra said, why am I being apprehended? She is right on every single time. Then the officer says, I am giving you a lawful order. I am going to drag you out of here. And there was a state cop for 36 years on Tom Hartman, and he said he did not have any grounds to give her a lawful order. He has to have proof that his life is in complete danger of being eliminated for him to be able to do that. That's not a lawful order, and he was lying. Yeah. Then the officer said, I am giving you a lawful order. I am going to drag you out of here very, very angrily. Sandra said, so you're threatening to drag me out of my own car? The officer points the stun gun at her at that point. And then he said, and it's all in big capital letters on the screen. He's screaming, get out of the car! And Sandra says, and then you're going to stun me? Then the officer says, I will light you up. Get out now. Get out of the car. Then Sandra says, wow. And she does get out of the car. All this for a failure to signal. You're doing all this for a failure to, and then he cuts her off again, the officer, and says, get over here. Sandra says, right, yeah. Then the officer says, put your hand behind your back and turn around. Sandra says, why am I being arrested? The officer says, turn around. Sandra says, why can't you tell me why? And the officer says, I'm giving you a lawful order again. I will tell you. Except that he wasn't giving a lawful order. Still had no standing at all. And so, I'm going to get rid of that, Rama.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a second, everybody. Just got to make sure we're in the right place, and then you got to watch that if it goes off. Okay, so the officer says, I will light you up. Get out now. Get out of the car. No, no, go away, Grandma. And then Sandra says, then the officer says, put your hand behind your back and turn around. Sandra says, why am I being arrested? The officer says, turn around. Sandra says, why can't you tell me why? And then the officer cuts her off and says, I'm giving you a lawful order. I will tell you. Sandra says, why am I being arrested?
Sandra sounds scared by this time. She really does. And the officer says, turn around. Then Sandra says, why won't you tell me that part? And she's very overwrought by this point because he's manhandling her. Let's just put it that way. And then the officer goes on and says, I'm giving you a lawful order. Turn around. Sandra says, why will you not tell me? And then he cuts her off again and says, turn around. You are not compliant. And Tom Hartman blew a gasket at that point. He just said, this guy has been accosting her all along, out of order, unlawfully doing what he's been doing. And now he turns the tables and says it's her.
That's, driving while black is a crime.
Yes, exactly. And then Chris, all in with Chris, he says, comes in and he says the officer continues to order Sandra around. And Sandra continues to ask why is she being arrested. And the war of words escalates further. And Sandra uses expletives. She also says the officer is hurting her. And then the officer goes on, you were getting a warning until now. Now you are going to jail. Sandra says, for what? And she says it again, for what? The officer says, stay right here. He doesn't answer her. Sandra says, for what? For what? The officer says, I said, stay right here. He doesn't answer her. Sandra says, you are putting me over. You are putting me over here for what? And then Sandra goes on and she says, many expletives. You are about to break my wrist. And then she starts crying. She really starts crying because evidently he's got her on the ground now, and he's smashing her head into the ground. And that's when I said earlier that she couldn't feel her arms or her legs anymore, and she couldn't hear. That's how violently. And the other female, or whatever guy that was, another guy came by. He was there. And he was, the original guy had his knee in her back and was smashing her head on the ground. And the other guy was holding her down all around. That's basically what was going on. But Tom Hartman had this fellow on that was a, he knew about how you splice and change videos. And he went over all kinds of spaces in the and actually the second video, let me get this right, had 52 minutes on it, and the first video had 49 minutes. And so if that was the revised video, I guess, I don't know if I got that backwards, but all I know is there was one that shouldn't have had more than the other. Oh yeah, it was the second video that had 49 minutes. And the first one had 52 minutes. And they said that they revised and put the whole thing together in the second one. Well, then how come it had 3 minutes less than the first one? Oh. You know. And then the cars were disappearing.
And tonight on Up With Chris, he had Joy Reid on. And supposedly in the autopsy, they found THC in her system. And they're trying to say that she was high, possibly, when this incident occurred.
The THC lasts for 35 to 40 days after you do it.
That's right.
And she's from Chicago. And she's got epilepsy. And you know that there's a special type of THC that can be used for epilepsy that can stop it. And it's lawful. It's lawful in Chicago to do that, too. Mm. You don't know everything. And not only that, the forensic guy that was on Tom Hartman said, there's too many things going completely not in accordance with normal procedure on this. And that, you know, these people are not trustworthy, and we need big-time change. You can't have the same police, you know, doing all these forensics when they're going to make sure that they're going to protect their own. And that was one thing that was emphasized. It's not even about black versus white when it comes to the blue force. It's blue. In other words, these guys will protect everybody. You know, they were bringing it up that the Freddie
Freddie Gray.
The Freddie Gray case had three people of color on the six police team that were accused of this murder type stuff. And that's, again, he reiterated, doesn't matter what color you are, you have a blue uniform and you will protect your own. And it doesn't matter what color you are at that point.
That's why I bring it into the realm that these folks have sworn their allegiance to the Führer.
Oh, that's by given. And yeah. Again, you know, an innocent young person that wants to become a police officer, you know, they're going to get, you know, wherever they're located, they're going to get the lowdown as to how that's an inside thing where you're going to protect the police officers no matter what, you know, and they're going to comply or they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be so healthy themselves inside that place. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, to a greater or lesser extent, you know, if you're in a rural all-white neighborhood where there's nobody of color and, you know, things are, relatively speaking, everybody's agreeing with everybody else, then you might not come across how awful it could be. But in general, it's completely compromised. And this thing about getting together with the prosecutors and forming a grand jury like that, they're going to protect the officers that are working for them in the streets. They're not going to do anything that's going to be justifiable. Again, that's why we, you know, Margot gave me a copy of her Secrets of the All Ages book, and I just opened it without my eyes even open, and I opened it right to the page where it was talking about William Shakespeare was really, and there's encryptions that are located in different locations that actually you can find the encrypted coding that says Shakespeare was Francis Bacon, and that, you know, Shakespeare left nothing of his legacy to his daughter, and he was not able to read or write or anything like that. And so there's a consensus there. Yet that then you go and you look in the Shakespearean plays, and you realize that it's the William Shakespeare that actually wrote that, Sir Francis Bacon, said in those plays, kill all the lawyers. He said that. And what he meant is what he said, because there is no justice in this country. The whole thing is rigged. And that's why Mahala Gale said, we're going to have a brand new system of law by September. And we're sitting here, and it's going to be divine law. It's going to be...
Listen to this, speaking about all this new law. Global mass ascension, September 28th, as Wave X bombards the Earth. Did you hear about that?
That's on the blood moon. That's wow. Exactly right. That's
well,
the
it's
blood
talking
moon.
About the U.S. intelligence community is aware of the potential effects of the incoming cosmic energies and is taking steps to manage this. That community is very likely not the only global entity aware of the incoming cosmic energies that's taking place, but it's a frequency shift, which will occur on the 23rd through the 28th of September timeframe, and it's significant. And it's also the time that Pope Francis will be meeting with the president at the White House on the 23rd and speaking before the Congress on the 24th, and there will be an attempt to use, I don't know what this is, CAPS, CERN, to deflect this massive incoming... Oh, they're trying to deflect this massive incoming energy wave. So to cap it all off, Pope Francis will address a gathering of world political leaders at the UN General Assembly on September 25th. The Vatican's own intelligence service is also very likely aware of these incoming cosmic energies, and it's more than coincidental that at the same time that incoming energies are predicted to peak on the planet, that the world's most powerful religious and political leaders meet. So the Vatican appears to be aware of incoming energies, cosmic energies, and the powerful transformative effect it will have on humanity, and is placing itself to ride the cosmic wave, so to speak. Human DNA.
What you were reading CERN is CERN, the Super Collider in Switzerland, and they want to use that somewhere between the 23rd and the 28th to open a portal. And it would be not in the best interest of planet Earth for them to open a portal at that time. And the reason being is that they want to open a portal to bring in, you know,
darkness.
Not the good guys showing up. Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, here it says, incoming cosmic energies are having profound effects on human DNA and will trigger, you're going to hear this now, guys, major disclosures. Certain star ambassadors of the Galactic Federation stationed on Earth have already been appointed as delegates to a group of extraterrestrials called the Sphere Being Alliance. I've never heard of these. This is my first study. And this Sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E, Being Alliance, showed up sometime around 2012 to 2013 with huge Neptune-sized spheres that formed frequency shields around the solar system and the sun. And one of the major functions of these spheres was to regulate the amount of cosmic energy coming into our solar system and the Earth so humanity could better integrate it and prepare for major changes. It has been mostly focused on the energetic changes occurring in our local star cluster because of the area of the galaxy that they are entering. And they have been using the many thousands of close spheres that are equidistantly spread out across our solar system and neighboring solar systems, electronically connected in the cosmic web and the natural portal system to buffer and diffuse incoming tsunami waves of highly charged energy that change the vibratory state of space-time energy and matter to cause it to raise to a higher state in the density spectrum. Wow, that was a paragraph.
Hey, Kathy, who put this, what's the name of this article and put it out?
Cheryl, so I think she probably sent it to you too. And
oh,
so
okay.
She's making a note here that it comes from a gentleman, let me just see, Dr. Atkins, Dr. Simon Atkins.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm familiar with this.
And what is his work, and to check out his blog, and everybody to use discernment. But it's a powerful, powerful article.
Yep, it is. That's because it's really happening, Kathy. It's really happening.
It's called the Event Horizon, and the date of the Event Horizon, all caps, is 9/28/2015, and is the most, this is what he says, is the most important day in the history of humanity. It is not the end, but the beginning of a mass global ascension from beings vibrating in upper 4D into 5D, and your real work will begin on this date, as you will need to hold even more light in the body to assist the rest of humanity in their ascension. And I'll close with that.
That
Kathy, is the Greenwich Mean Time situation on the 28th. In our United States, it's on the 27th when that blood moon happens. But on Greenwich Mean Timeline, it's right on the 28th. And Carl Boudreau concurs with every single word that was just said.
The Sphere Being Alliance are the blue avian folks. These are the hawk-headed Horus folks. There are other bird tribes that are here on the planet, along with the lion people, along with the good reptilian folks who come from Nibiru. This is also tied in with, you know, the trillions and trillions of other starships and space commands that are part of the Ashtar Command and the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. How it's been explained to me is, as all these folks They're already in our skies.
Right.
As they were to decloak, there would be no sky. You would see only the underside.
Trillions of fully decloaked starships.
There would be so many ships, it would blot out the sky. That's not to scare everybody, but that's to let you know they got
that they're
this.
Not going to get their way. There's no way. They're still on a full lockdown.
Yes.
And they can't get out, and
this
their,
is not about invasion. It's about incent. It's not about invasion or extinction level events or the fake rapture that they'd like to pull off.
It's not about any of those things.
No, this is, you know, us waking up to ourselves.
Yes,
and I suppose it would be easier on each and every one of us, as we all here on this call have been doing so much work for so very long, and we continue to do that, to clear ourselves of anything, because when these energies of the ascension wave basically lifts up our physical body, the process is to be ready for that. So to clear as much as you possibly can, wherever you feel needed, before those dates, because there's more coming, and we need to have the space to bring that in.
For a whole hour here. I was going to say, there's another thing that's going on. You know, Mother's been saying over the years, Kathy, she's been saying, I'm extending a little more of the timeline, and the reason I'm doing that is because there has to be an equilibrium. You know, like coming to the round table, you might say, which is the Stargate Roundtable is the title of this show, particularly, being able to meet each other wherever our opinions lie. I mean, this landmark nuclear, I got to read that, nuclear agreement thing. Noam Chomsky got on the air. I'm just going to say before I leave this calendar first, Yom Kippur is on the 23rd of September,
right.
And that's the autumnal equinox, the sun enters Libra. And then on the 24th, we're going to have this little Mr. Francis around, and then on the 25th, he's going to talk to the UN.
Oh, and Netanyahu's going to try to get over here, too, during that time.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be screaming in the opposite direction,
with
our And that's another thing. These guys have lost. And I'm going to just say the other thing. We have Sukkoth, Sukkoth, on the 28th. What is that about, Ramagan?
It is a harvest festival where you have an outdoor kind of like, you know, a trellis that roses grow over. I don't, you know.
Yeah, and what about it?
And it's like a festival for the harvest, you know, like...
You celebrate.
Yeah, celebrate the, you know, reaping of the harvest.
Okay. Well, that's nice. And on that week before the 23rd, the beginning of that week, on Monday is International Day of Peace. And the week before, on the Monday before, on the 14th, is Rosh Hashanah. So I'm just saying there's a lot of energy focused around these more traditional days and this huge monstrosity change that's being aligned. And I want to mention that the Troika does not have any money.
No.
They are stealing all of Greece's natural resources, their islands, their ports, their airports, all of their utility corporations, which is a huge income for them. They're stealing the people's pensions, which they worked all their life for. They're stealing their people's health. They don't have any health. 40% of these kids are malnourished, like they come from Nigeria or something. This is a mass genocide, and they're trying to save their own face because they do not have any money. They're just feeding it back to them. They're stealing their own assets and feeding it back to them. This is what's going on. It's the same thing of them. I mean, it's unbelievable. They took these mortgages and they put them in the markets and they were fake. And there was no way that these people were going to be able to do that. And they knew they were going to crash the system on purpose. And they were just feeding back to them everything that they were paying in. This has not been anything but a broke place for a very, very long time. And there's just been nothing but fear that's been feeding into the people. And this awakening is completely without fear. It is shedding the last detail of fear. When a young person, 28 years old, female, is murdered in cold blood by our so-called protect and serve police officers. And people are, I'm just listening. I listen to 3 hours of Tom Harbin every day. Everybody's irate. And they are in detail. They know what's going on. They're speaking truth like to power. And I'm sitting there and I'm bowled over. You know, it is time to become aware that awareness itself has become aware of itself.
Yeah. I'm going to switch the subject a little bit and just ask you what you think it would look like. What do you think it would actually feel like energetically around the planet as these villains in high places are getting arrested? I mean, that's going to have to be some major news bulletin, and they're going to have to say, around the globe. So what do you think that will look like?
Okay, it's a simulcast. In other words, there will be force fields come down from these trillions of ships, along with these 20 million sovereign militia forces, 16 million of them from the Ashtar Command, not from Earth. And this is why there's all this talk. I mean, just what you read, that's mind-boggling.
It is.
And it's not that it's not tangible and connected to the people. That's why it can be written, because the minefield is there, and the people are with it. And it's increasing like exponentially, like I was just saying earlier to somebody today. Every day now, it's only 6 hours. Every 24-hour period, only 6 hours in the time that we're used to is going by.
That's
just like, wow. That's fast. I mean, you should see me writing like a crazy person every day, and I can't keep up with it, but it's that. I mean, the people are cognizing this and moving with this, and these guys are doing their darndest to go in the opposite direction. And to me, I'm seeing failure. You know, it's tremendously terrible what they're doing. Like Vermont, just in their local legislature, they've passed a law that said that next year in March or something, All GMO foods will have to be labeled in their state. This very day that they did that, they passed a counter law at the federal basis in the Republicans said, you may not do that at a state level. They passed a law that says you cannot do that.
Right.
That you cannot order anything to be labeled. And they're banking on this TPP. To happen. And the more that they push for it, the more that everybody's intelligently saying, this is not happening, folks. And, you know, the thing that's going to disappear in this whole thing with the zero going to zero, there will never again be somebody in Vietnam making 78 cents an hour for some corporation to do their labor. That ain't going to be happening. And again, that's why it's so interesting that, you know, the fossil fuel system is being divested of by major universities and even major corporations that are not that are divesting. And there's all kinds of things happening in that direction. And Dr. Keshi marches in on the 31st and says, here's a free energy grid where you don't have to pay for your telephone, your Comcast, your TV, your your mixer in the kitchen. You don't need any of that. We got an off-grid free energy grid that takes down all these major corporations. Guess what the Koch brothers are? They're an oil man in business. They made their billions in oil.
So
yes.
People like the Koch brothers that are going to be getting their marching orders along with all these other people.
Yeah, they're going to have a great big zero in their accounts.
And they can't go. And they're all going to be sent around the globe somewhere else and be transitioned with our new government. This is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. And 500,000 are going to be executed. That's in written in stone. And that is a hard one to swallow. But that's how it's going. That's how far over the line this has gone. They are attempting to prove to all of us that they will never change. And that's very, very obvious at this point. And they have been not human. They have been not human, and so they delete from the program. It will be painless. That's all we know.
Well, that's good. All right, we're hitting the top of the hour here, Tara, and I'm just wondering if you want to have a little break, a little musical break, before you come back with the last hour of your show tonight.
Sure. Kathy, is there anything else that you have in your mind that you want to share? Because you're picking up on the vibration that's... I just wanted to say it again. I appreciate the wisdom that you carry. It's just like you never watch TV, but you're right there.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I don't watch TV, that's true, but I do get that little Fox reminder thing that comes up on the iPhone like so many people. So I'm aware of what's happening around the planet, but I'm not tuned into it. It's just a note. It's an acknowledgement, you could say.
Uninstall
it. What's happening around me. Because if I know that's happening, I can just send light to it. And so can all of us. We can do that for Farida. We can do that for ourselves. We can do that for our planet. It's what we do constantly that helps us raise our vibration so we can be prepared for this coming monster amount of energy. And we have to be able to hold that. So yes. I'm just saying it's easier on ourselves if we keep our daily commitments. And if we are slouching on our daily commitments with the summer schedule, know that it's going to be soon where we sit down and we all get back to work, because this is going to affect us deeply on a physical level, not to mention the ascension level.
Righto.
So if we could ask BBS to step in and give us a little interim break, and at the top of the hour, Tara and Rama, I'm sure that you have plans for that time. I know you have enough information to fill the entire night.
Yes.
We're
going to play a little piece of Nassim at the end, too.
Okay. So do you hear us there, BBS Radio?
Yes, Music Maestro. Can we have a musical break? Okay, Kathy's gone, huh?
Kathy went to beam up.
Okay, here, Rama. Is there anything else that you were told today?
Not that I can think of, other than just, you know.
I mean, you know.
The absolute insanity.
How long can we do this round and round the block?
I mean. It is kind of comical, but tragic comical, because these people are very, they know fully well how dark the energies that they're exuding are. And I'll just say that, you know,
Tom Hartman is beside himself. Every other sentence is, this has got to stop. And I'm looking at him like a tape loop is going on, and he's like, he's been, his brain has done a thing in there where it doesn't compute. He doesn't know how to bridge that gap. So it's really up to us to maintain a balance while this is going. There was something positive that happened today. The World Food Program is hoping to provide more desperately needed food to Yemen this month. Frances is part of the World Food Program, and she was on the ground in Yemen, and she said, we are aiming to get 500,000 people with food assistance in the month of July. Remember that they're on the verge of a complete total famine in Yemen. We're ready to scale this up. We need the conditions, the security, so that we can do that. We need to be able to bring in the supplies on the ships, yet also to get access via land through our partners there on the ground to make sure those who really are in need are getting the food assistance. One of the organization's supply ships finally was able to dock in Aden yesterday. It's the first time since the Saudi-led airstrikes began last March. The ship was carrying 3,000 tons of food, which could easily feed 180,000 people. The other thing that's going on, it's not so fun, but they're at least dealing with it. In Ghana, the dolphins are being caught en masse for food directly for the people because there's drought in Ghana and the people don't have anything to eat. So they're catching dolphins to feed the people. It's sad. And the sharks are being caught for their fins in Ghana because they can get 50, how much? Some ridiculous price for those fins per fin. Anyway, they considered a delicacy in China. And you know what they do? They just cut off their the shark fins, and then they dump the rest of the shark body alive back in the oceans, and they die a miserable, horrible, watery death. Their grave is the bottom of the ocean. That's pathetic. And we kill 100 million sharks a year. What? I mean, okay, so in 2014, they're basically saying, I know that there's something about helping humans that the shark have this rejuvenation thing in their food. He's saying what they're doing is you know, they're biting their own, you know, they're the suffering that's going to the ecosystem does not warrant what they're doing here for a expensive bowl of soup, is what he's saying. And there were 72 unprovoked shark attacks in 2014. 3 were fatal, 69 not. No fatalities in the United States. Florida saw the greatest number of attacks at 28 last year. Hawaii had 7. South Carolina, 5. California and North Carolina had 4 each. And the 3 fatalities last year, 2 of them were in Australia and 1 was in South Africa. Yet the people are much more dangerous to the sharks than the sharks are to the people. And I think I've said this before. I have a friend in my life from when I was living in Hawaii. She had red hair down to her
knee backs of her knees. Unbelievable. Yet she would go swimming at Little Beach off of Maui. She'd go swimming at Little Beach with the sharks. They were leopard sharks. They were just gorgeous. They didn't touch her at all. Her vibration, she was a Navy, you know, a Navy kid. And so she was, you know, all over the world, you know, with her family, staying in all kinds of exotic places, you know, everywhere. And she would just, you know, her love of her life was to swim with every kind of fish, including sharks and everything. So she had no quandary, and they had none with her. She could stay underwater and hold her breath for a good 3 minutes without any problem at all. It was a trip. And they took some beautiful film footage of her doing that. But anyway. So the practice of finning is especially brutal. And this one gentleman, Jeff Corman, he's a wildlife biologist. He said, because not only is there very little biological value or medical value from harvesting these fins, as was earlier described, the spaghetti-like structure in the fin, in the shark fin, it's like a spaghetti-like structure, which is cartilage, which is believed in Asian communities, especially in China, to be a delicacy. And they believe it has medicinal properties. That's not really true. I know that, I forgot what shark meat is supposed to be good for, but our shark oil or something is supposed to have a renewal of your energy. It's supposed to be good. I can't remember.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but it's not good to have krill oil because that takes away the food, the primary source of those nutritional things for whales. Yeah. That's right. But not only is that incorrect and a fallacy, the actual removing of these fins means that 90% of that animal is wasted, and it often sinks to the bottom and has a miserable watery grave. And there really is a negative domino effect as sharks are taken out of the ecosystem. A tremendous and dramatic ripple effect as one removes sharks. Keep in mind, sharks have been on this planet for hundreds of years. Okay, you got to do this. I'm sorry, Rama. You got to watch that. Hundreds of millions of years. They are time-tested. They survived 5 significant extinction periods on our planet. And as we go to an ecosystem, a barrier reef, a lagoon, an ocean habitat, and there are no sharks, that ecosystem is often out of balance. Sharks play the role as the apex predator. They are the wolves of the Yellowstone, the lions of the African savanna, the creatures that keep the balance, connected between one life form and the next. So they are integral to these environments. And without them, these living communities are in distress. And then Al Jazeera says, now I know sharks grow slowly and they have a fairly low reproductive rate. So with the number of sharks being killed and it's soared over the past few decades, how in danger are they? And the answer is, well, you bring up an excellent point. A lot of game fish that are targeted, for example, a tuna fish, and we know how vulnerable tuna populations can be. Their reproductive window can be as little as 1 or 2 years to as long as 5 years, depending on the species of tuna. There are some shark species that actually do not begin reproducing until they are 80 years old. your average shark species doesn't become reproductively viable and is not capable of biologically replacing itself with a mate until it is at least 20 years of age. So we are literally harvesting species before they have had an opportunity to replace themselves. So that is one factor. The other factor is that these creatures are being unsustainably harvested. You touched on the numbers. On a year, on average, we are losing between 75 million to 150 million individual sharks each and every year. That is a number that pushes a species beyond its carrying capacity to survive and to recover. And I know there are some laws out there to protect them, says Al Jazeera, yet how much can really be done, because shark fin is among the most expensive seafood in the world. And as we just saw in that story about Ghana, for some fishermen, it is an issue of subsistence. And the answer is, it's all about three things, I think. It's about awareness, it's about attitude, and it's about enforcement. Awareness and education, enlightening people on the fact that you are just basically eating an expensive bowl of soup that gives nothing medically, nothing medicinally, nothing with regard to nutrition. It comes down to better understanding the roles of sharks in our ecosystems. The other thing is attitude. For example, here in New England, where I live, we have seen a dramatic change in our attitudes in the land of where Peter Blatchley wrote the book and the movie Jaws, which was created. We respect, from which the movie Jaws was created, we respect sharks now. There's a global movement, yet then there's enforcement. For example, you can go to Costa Rica. This is an iconic Mecca as it comes to sharks. Like the Cocoa Islands and national parks celebrated from the great swarms of thousands upon thousands of hammerheads, yet they have very little power to enforce the laws to keep Taiwanese shark fishermen from overfishing their waters in Central America. And that's the end of the story. We're just... And I guess I believe that the galactics are assisting us with these energies pouring in here as we evolve to a much higher awareness of balance in the ecosystem, and that we are the caretakers of this planet and all of the species and all of the ecosystems, etc. And we become more self-aware of how we must work together to accomplish these goals. I think that that's like intervention at a very, very intensely high rate. Right now it's 9:19. Let me see if I can go find Noam Chomsky here. He had a lot to say. Okay. I asked Noam Chomsky, as he felt the nuclear agreement struck with Iran was a good deal from the United States perspective. Noam Chomsky said, "The real question is, why is the deal even being pursued? What exactly is the threat of Iran?" That's the fundamental question. The deal does constrain what's called the Iranian threat. Yet what exactly is that threat? It's interesting that that question isn't raised. Well, actually, though, it is raised. Yet there is a nuclear non-proliferation treaty that Iran is a party to. many believe Iran had violated that. Noam Chomsky says, that was Al Jazeera's question, and Noam Chomsky said, true, Iran is a party to it, and Iran has lived up to it. There are other countries that are not parties to it. Israel, for example, is not a party to it and has a huge nuclear weapons system, and the United States protects it. Pakistan is not a party to it. Its nuclear weapons system was developed with the support of the United States. India is not a part of it, a party to it. India has an enormous nuclear weapons system supported by the United States. Al Jazeera says, would you argue Iran having nuclear weapons would be a good thing? I want you all to keep in mind that for the last 30 years plus, Iran has had 12 nuclear weapons. And that's just a fact. And it's just very, very interesting, all this stuff. Okay, so then Noam Chomsky says to that question, I don't think anyone ought to have nuclear weapons, including the United States. Yet that's not the issue here. As Iran's alleged noncompliance with the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty is an issue, and I add alleged, that certainly doesn't require sanctions or a treaty or any other actions. Al Jazeera says, now I know you said before that the United States had no right to sanction Iran in the first place. I'm going to say that's absolutely what, remind everybody that the Dalai Lama said sanctions are immoral. The people who starve and die and suffer and get sick are the people. The people that are poor, they get poorer and they get less assistance. That's what happens. Yet why not? Again, now I know you've said that before that the United States had no right to sanction Iran in the first place. This is Al Jazeera asking, yet not, why not? The UN also imposed sanctions. And again, I know you are arguing that Iran may not have violated the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Yet others argue that it did, that it's gone too far with its enrichment program. Noam says, as it did, fine. Then those countries, first of all, it's primarily the United States. The others are rather mild. Yet, as countries are opposed to the violation of the non-proliferation treaty, then fine. Let's turn to the major violators. Israel, Pakistan, and India. All with the United States and Western support. He really put him in his place, everybody. That's why I transcribed this. That was tickling me. Then it goes on. Al Jazeera says, Iran, on the other hand, though, threatens other nations in the region. For instance, Iran has called for the extermination of the state of Israel. Noam Chomsky says, I am sorry. Those are words. Yeah. Who is it threatening? There are countries that are threatening others in the region. Israel, for example, has invaded Lebanon repeatedly, destructively. The United States and Britain invaded Iraq, the worst crime in the century, devastated Iraq, exacerbated a light and thin, almost non-existent sectarian conflict. Yeah, I mean, the Sunnis and the Shia have been living together for 6,000 years until we meddled, which is now tearing the region to shreds. We can continue. That's threatening others. Whatever you think about Iran by those standards, Iran is not in that league. Now, look, I don't think anyone ought to have nuclear weapons, as I said. Yet notice that the analysis of the United States intelligence is pretty reasonable. There's nothing that Iran could do with a nuclear weapon except as a deterrent. And there are two countries in the region that do not want Iran to have a deterrent. The two countries that freely use force and violence in the region, primarily the United States, secondarily Israel. Al Jazeera is just kind of like pucker-faced. There are a lot of other countries in the world that don't want Iran to have nukes. Noam Chomsky says, these are the major ones. These are the major ones by far. There are plenty of countries that are ugly and do ugly things. Yet take a look at the scale. There are no countries that rampage to anything like that extent of the United States and Israel in this region. Furthermore, the United States is quite open about it. Just in the last few days, Ashley Carter, commentators like Thomas Friedman, our ambassador Samantha Powers, have stated quite openly that as we choose, we will use force against Iran. There is something called the United Nations Charter, which bars the threat or the use of force, both the threat and or the use of force in international affairs. Yet the United States political leaders and leading commentators across the board say we are not bound by that. As we decide to use, this is the arrogance, boy, exceptionalism, American exceptionalism. As we decide to use force, well, then we will use force. Al Jazeera says, well, I know that you argued that the United States is the world's leading terrorist threat, citing, and Noam Chomsky says, no, I'm reporting world opinion. In other words, that you can't nail that on me. I'm reporting that's the world opinion. Al Jazeera says, well, I know you are reporting world opinion, yet I think you've made that comment yourself. Noam Chomsky says, I agree with it. Al Jazeera says, exactly. You agree with it. And you've cited, among other things, what you call a global assassination campaign, referring to drone strikes. Noam Chomsky says, correct. Al Jazeera says, well, what? And I'm going to repeat to you, this is not Barack Obama. This is Hillary Clinton representing the 13 families' orders and headquarters being enacted by, what's that guy's name, Rama, at the head of the CIA? Anyway, he's the one that's doing it. That's right. Okay. Well, what would you do as these people are plotting against the United States in far-flung and difficult ways to access places? Noam Chomsky says, as they are plotting against the United States, now this happens to be the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta this year, which in a limited way established what has become a major principle of law, namely presumption of innocence. Until someone is charged in a court of law with a jury of peers with a criminal act, they are innocent. Until such things happen, they are innocent, as we feel free to attack people anywhere, anytime, and kill them with impunity, whom we claim might be planning to harm us in the future. As anyone else did that, we would nuke them. That put the pucker face back on the Al Jazeera reporter. He says, I understand that, yet think then back to 2001, and by that argument, we shouldn't have been able to take any action against Osama bin Laden before he... And Noam Chomsky said, no, I didn't say that. No, sorry. As we thought he was planning an attack, we did not have a right to kill him. As a matter of fact, he never planned or attacked. That's me talking. 9/11 was an inside job, Bush-Clinton crime family. I mean, they got right on the cusp of that one. Al Jazeera says, well, yet isn't that the case? With all CIA dug groups in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Yemen in particular, who have threatened the United States, who have tried to take aggressive action against the United States. Noam Chomsky says, as we can legitimately murder people who we think are planning an attack against us, then Iran should be perfectly free to kill Ashton Carter, Samantha Power, Thomas Friedman, and Robin Wright. All of these people are saying, look, we have the right to attack you. And to attack Iran. Al Jazeera says, yet those people are only saying we have the right to that as Iran develops a nuclear weapon in violation of the international treaty that could threaten the world. Treaties that could threaten the world. Noam Chomsky says, that's right. Yet, sorry, we do not have the right to use force to attack anyone who we claim is violating an international treaty. As we believed in that right, we should be attacking Israel, India, and Pakistan. And the fucker face comes back to the Al Jazeera reporter. Rama, turn that on. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, you got to put that on. I see. Okay, so, and then Al Jazeera goes on and says, what should the United States do in the face of ISIL taking over large parts of Iraq and Syria? Should we just sit back and let that happen? I just want to remind everybody that we set that in motion. And I've said this once before, and I'll say it again. As they are looking at the people that are members of ISIL, the core group, they were all members of the Ba'athist Party. They were the military that Paul Bremer, when he got in office there, he fired them all. He caused their families to die. He caused them to starve to death. He caused them to get bombed to heaven and back again, and their children to get maimed and get cancer and all this stuff. That's what's the core of ISIL. And now ISIL's being backed by our Lindsey Graham and our John McCain and our Republican Nazi collaborators, and they're funneling money and all kinds of things and setting it up so that they can, just create havoc in there so they can have their theories about what they're going to do about it. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, well, the question is, Noam Chomsky says, what are the options? First of all, we should recognize our enormous role in creating ISIL in the first place, which is understood by top Western commentators. I can quote as we had time. Yet what do we do about that now? Well, should we destroy? We should first of all ask, why is ISIL gaining popular support, which it is. You can read that in the New York Times, by the way, Tim Morangus' latest column. It's offering something to the Sunni populations which otherwise they do not have. As we were capable of destroying ISIL, something worse would come up. Actually, you cannot kill an ideology. Worse would come up. Actually, there is a force on the ground which is combating ISIL. guess what it is? It's Iran. Pucker face comes back. And we call that a destabilization. As the Kurds in Iraq were under attack by ISIL, they pleaded for support. We didn't give it to them. Iran did. That was the end of that conversation, everybody. I just thought that was phenomenal. So, and then there's this, a federal grand jury has indicted the Charleston Emanuel Church shooting suspect, Dylan Storm Roof, on hate crimes charges. Some of the allegations included in today's 33-count indictment are punishable by death or life in prison. Along with hate crimes, Roof is charged with obstruction of religion and the illegal use of a firearm. Roof is already facing state charges in South Carolina, including 9 counts of murder. For the second time since the death of Michael Brown, nearly a year ago, the city of Ferguson, Missouri, has hired a new interim police chief. Andre Anderson is a 24-year veteran of the Glendale, Arizona Police Department. Oh, boy, plenty of experience there. Anderson says he's black, too. Anderson says his top priority is to build trust between the Ferguson Police Department and the community it serves. And then that's all they said about that. Then Obama went to Africa today. To Kenya and Ethiopia. In Kenya, Obama will be the keynote speaker at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit. Obama says Africa is a place of incredible dynamism. Some of the fastest growing markets in the world. Extraordinary people, extraordinary resilience, and it has the potential to be the next center of global economic growth. The president spoke at a reception celebrating the African Growth and Opportunity Act. The law lets sub-Saharan African countries sell products, including textiles, in the United States markets duty-free. In Ethiopia, the president will speak to a gathering of the African Union. The American ambassador to Kenya says President Obama will not visit his late father's village. Yet, as Andrew Simmons reports, people there are hoping he'll change his mind. Then the reporter says Kokelo lays claim to the Obama name like no place on earth. And right now, it's all you hear in this tiny village Barack Obama visited in 2006 as he was a senator. Since then, asphalt has been laid on the roads. Electricity has arrived in the village. Yet some things like education still need much improvement. At the Senator Obama Primary School, this boy is named after Obama. This classroom, like many others, is overcrowded and the conditions are poor. His father says only a private school could offer what children need. In other words, the boy's father, the boy who's named after Obama. Next door, Senator Obama Kogelo Secondary School carries the same name. They say they will change senator to president should he actually visit here. It has the same problems as the primary school, yet it's one Obama plans to change. Mama Sarah Obama, the president's grandmother, she lives just down the road. Obama was 25 as he first visited Mama Sarah at her homestead. Things have changed a lot since then. Orphans are given homes here, and it's the base of a foundation which has now raised enough donations to rebuild the village schools across the whole village. All run by Mama Sarah Obama, who is 94 years old. A stepmother. She raised the United States president's father from childhood as he returned to Kenya as an adult with an MA from Harvard with his son back in America. She says he made a prediction. Stepmother Sarah says his father, Obama's father, said Obama would do a great job in this world. He said, "Mom, just watch this space. He'll make this family famous, and now I am seeing it with my own eyes. I am proud of you for the love he has of people." She was talking to Obama's father. Looking at early pictures of her step-grandson's family, she had an observation. Sarah said, "He's looking old. As I saw him in the White House, he told me, 'Grandma, there are so many issues all over the world I have to judge on. That is why I am going gray.' His hair is white now." The reporter says, "Mama Sarah wants her legacy to be better education for all. Down the road, a poor boy called Barack Obama, no relation. That boy, he goes home with a father who wants to believe his son can get a better education." Okay, I'm done, and it's time to play the piece. Rama. Nassim, and make sure that you give me that thing so I can do it now. Yeah, let's do Obama. I mean, let's do Nassim. We got the last number five, the last of the five-part piece that we have been playing, and then next week we're going to start a new one. Penny says it's great, so we'll see. Okay, again, this is called Giant Planet-Sized UFOs, the Sun Stargate and Sun Gods, Nassim Haramein. We just had that in the news. They were UFOs the size of moons. That was in the news just today and yesterday and stuff. But this is back in 2012, giant planet-sized UFOs in the Sun Stargate. Okay, here we go for the last part. Here we go.
And flaring and all this, there's so much energy. There's so much, you know, activity. There's so much stuff. It is affecting human consciousness. There is no doubt about it. When I was looking at this data, with Bill Bison, you know, an engineer that has been recording the activities of the sun for the last 30 years, is an expert and so on. And his jaw was on the ground. He was like, "Oh my God, I've never seen data like this." And the first thing he said is, "This is going to affect human consciousness. So don't, you know, just flow with it. Try flowing with it. Just let go. Don't worry if everything you say is completely misinterpreted. Okay? Don't worry if you get yelled at. Don't worry, you know. Don't just try to let it flow and let it go. Everything is going to be in a state of flux, right? The other thing I would say is that if you're aware of these changes that are going on in the solar system, you can start to actually synchronize your resonance pattern, your energy to it by intent. And you know, that might sound very esoteric, but I think there's some validity to this, meaning that you allow the change to happen in your body so you can adapt to the changes that are occurring in our environment. I think that this much amount of information, this much amount of energy coming at us is actually going to change our DNA structure very quickly. And we have to be aware of that and allow that to happen and go into sympathetic resonance with that. And if we resist that, there's a good chance we're going to get extremely sick.
Because you are, you know, several generations ahead of the common person out on the street here, you know, what efforts are you doing to kind of prepare yourself to be a messenger to larger numbers of people to assist them in this process?
You know? Well, everybody has their own mission, I believe. Everybody is here at this time to do something very specific to assist in this change that we're going through. And for me, it's to bring a unified view of the universe and to bring a technology that will help us transition through these changes. For you and for many others, it might be completely different and supportive of each other, I'm sure. But basically, is to go into your center and to find your mission, to find what you're here to do. There is something that you're here to do, and to do it. Don't go around the pot, don't wait, don't do it. Just do it, you know? And that's going to help the world. And commit to it. Do what is necessary to get it done, because there is very little time left. Go ahead.
For me, it's to make sure that $15 million needed to complete your research is raised within the next 12 months. I have an email here for everybody to find who wants to help me with that.
Awesome.
Okay, that's the end. So we're going to start the beginning of the next one. And let's take a look at this. We'll just do as much as we can before it's time to go. Okay, this one is called Nassim Haramein, The Connected Universe, A Fundamental Transformation of Human Awareness, 2015, June 5th. This is the newest one. Here we go.
Conscious Life Expo is so happy to host Nassim. As many of you know, he's one of the leading teachers, visionary, and the most brilliant scientists that is applying his genius to prove scientifically and study and have us understand what the spiritual teachers have been telling us. We are all one. It is all connected. His amazing research, which you'll see here, he's going to be sharing a lot of his new research, really shows how we are all connected and can move forward with that light. He's also going to be sharing his movie that he's coming out with next summer. He did a crowdfunding campaign, and it was one of the most successful crowdfunding campaigns for a documentary. So I'm really happy to present to you Nassim and what's going to be a wild ride of revolution and revelatory experience. And first, we're going to be blessed to see his trailer of his new movie that will be coming out next summer. And so here it is.
Thank you.
What if you were connected to everyone in the world? How would your life change? What as you could see the patterns? See the beauty? Uh-oh. New ideas in science. Deepen your connection to nature, to the stars, to each other. Learn to see the world differently. Differently. The Connected Universe. A film by Malcolm Carter.
It's so exciting to be here. You know, this is one of the first talk I did. Oh, wow. My presentation crashed. I haven't done a talk in a long time. It's great to be with you guys. I'm like, family. It's exciting because I've got a lot to share, you know, that I haven't had time to be out there sharing for a while. And, you know, I'm going to try to get through it. I've got like 64 slides. And, I have some, you know, new physics I'm working on that actually is unpublished that I'm going to share today. And, so I'm excited to, talk about this and get your feelings on it and so on. And, you know, I think this year is just awesome, isn't it? Oh, I mean, 2015 turned over and like the day it started is like, whoa, I felt the push. And it's really kind of unfolding in this beautiful mandala, you know, this incredible changes that are occurring in all fields of expertise, and certainly in the fields of physics and scientific evolution. And, you know, what it seems to be pointing to more and more is this fundamental different view, this different approach to the world in which we start to think of the world as a connected world instead of a disconnected, mostly discombobulated, random universe. And this new view brings very fundamental philosophical and deep changes in our relationship to ourselves and the universe around us and each other. And I think that's really critical. So I titled this talk, The Connected Universe, A Fundamental Transformation of Human Awareness. And I will be talking as well a little bit about some of the papers I'm writing on consciousness relative to physics, which is a first for me, in terms of collaboration with biologists and, in fact, astrophysicists. We'll get into that a little bit. So there's a worldview change that's occurring. I don't know. We gotta ask the... Louder? Okay. So, it's a little bit of feedback. So this worldview change that's occurring, and I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start with the idea that, like, okay, you want to figure out the universe. Louder? You want to figure out the universe. Is that loud enough? It's a loud universe. Come forward. Is this, we're getting feedback up here if we turn it up too far. bring my mic closer? There we go. Is that better? No. I'm known for being loud. Especially by my staff. It's all about feedback.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Okay. A handheld? Is that better? Ah. Okay. So there we go. So I was, you know, I'm going to start this talk by just like going from the basics. And if you wanted to, you know, there's this worldview change that's occurring. And if you wanted to understand the universe, if you're trying to figure out how you got here and how it works, all this stuff all around you, you call reality, you would have two initial departure point possibility. One would be that we live in a disconnected universe, and the other one that we live in a connected universe. And, you know, some of the criterias that would define these two views would be, for instance, everything emerged from some miraculous Big Bang, you know, that like started everything. In the disconnected view, since nothing is connected to anything, the beginning has to be some kind of nothingness that all of a sudden is everythingness. And you don't really have an explanation for it. You don't have a concept on how it got there. You don't know the mechanics of it. And so right from the start, you violate fundamental laws of physics. Laws of conservation of energy and momentum and conservation of information and so on, because you're making a miracle happen. So you start with a miracle. So you might as well, you know, go to church and be told, well, God did it all, right? Because it's basically how the Big Bang theory starts. All right. Now in the connected universe, you have something a little different. Everything emerged from some fundamental continuous process, right? Like there's a fundamental continuous process that got everything where it's at today, right? That is not some initial miracle, but a continuous, infinite kind of process of relationship. You can, in the disconnected universe, you would have everything is random, and evolution happens by chance, right? Everything, you know, you got a Big Bang, everything went flying out, everything is just hitting each other randomly, and by an incredible, amazing circumstance, things just happen to hit just right so that you got here, right? But the thing is, when you do the math for that, it doesn't add up, right? Like when you do the probabilities of that incredibly amazing, you know, chance or probability that things would have occurred just right. Because you see, any tweak of any of the fundamental forces, any tweak of anything that happened at the very beginning of this so-called Big Bang, by very, very slight changes of the fundamental forces, all of a sudden, nothing comes together. Like, matter doesn't coalesce, you know, stars don't happen, galaxies don't happen, planets don't happen, nothing happens. It just goes, you know, and it flies out. It's all done with, right? Like, nothing is occurring. So, the probabilities when you, this is the fine-tuning problem,
when you calculate the probabilities of that, you know, actually working out so that it made our universe and it made us right here, right now, it's incredibly improbable that it would occur, all right? The probabilities are like 10 to the 8,800 and something. You know, that's like 10 with like 8,000 zeros just for one simple monocellular structure to develop, right? You know, so it's not kind of feasible. But in a connected universe, everything is part of an information network structure producing self-organizing system, because the thing is talking to itself. It's connected. So it knows what it's doing. It's going. It's learning as it's going. So it has feedback. It has feed forward, right? The whole thing is talking to itself. So then it can develop super fast.
Okay, that's just a taste for tonight. We'll come back to that. It took him about 8 minutes to get started. That's okay. We've got a plenty. Next week we'll play a more substantial amount. This is exciting. This is right up to the moment, everybody. I'm excited. So until we meet again, our unicorn here message. There are to be seen certain animals that live on the land, yet take pleasure also in the sea. Although they are certainly not sea horses, they have equine heads and manes. The beast has a horn, two palms in length. Garcias Abhorto, 1567 A.D. And they are trotting through the ocean waves along the beach at a sunrise. It's gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. I'll read one more. And in the whiteness of the white, flowering in the tattered water, their bodies arching with streaked marble hollows of waves, their manes and tails burning in the sunlight, their eyes as dark and jeweled as the deep sea, and the shining of their horns. The horns came riding in like the rainbow masts of silver fleets. Peter S. Beagle. Okay. And join us tomorrow. There is so much happening, and it's so very exciting to be alive right now. And remember to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And let's not mess with Mr. In Between. And we love you so much. And in the light of all that is peace, all that is love, inshallah, we are all another ourselves. Satnam, aloha, mahalo, and
Satnam ji.
Namaste, everybody. See you tomorrow. Music maestro. Music maestro.